no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Kissel, this is the week we turned it all back around.
Oh yeah, buddy, we are coming back big.
Yeah, this is the week I'm changing everything. I'm getting into juicing. I'm going to go and do some volunteer work at the homeless shelter.
That would be nice of you.
I'm going to donate blood to families in my neighborhood.
Spray it on their windows. You have to go to the doctor. You can't just go to your neighbor's house with a vial of blood and be like, here's the blood I've donated for you. It's from me.
I'm so sick of all this red tape. Big government bullshit. If I want to give blood to my neighborhood, and they, because all the news is like, none of blood. And you're going to tell me I'm willing to give buckets of my own blood to whoever wants it. I'm just saying, I'm willing to give up to a bucket of blood. That's for free. I'm not even asking for money. And I just want to hand it to one of my neighbors. You mean tell me that's illegal or that's frowned upon?
I don't know. I think it's frowned upon, potentially illegal, but I think your heart's in the right place, and that's all that we can ask
for. I'll tell them I'll even wait another 72 hours for the mushrooms in my system to maybe work their way out of me so that they don't just trip balls when they start ladling into their children's fucking mouths. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I don't know what their family styles are like.
You need to name your next dog psilocybin. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry.
I love your jazz voice.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to this stage, I don't even know who a jazz performer is. So I can't even do that. Hubby Lumpcap? I have no idea. They're always named after something that sounds like it could protect you from a sewer.
Yes. And I'm just trying to drive back from Vegas with Holden McNeely, who
we had a great weekend in Vegas.
We really did. If you got a man like Holden McNeely in the passenger seat of your car when everybody's really hungover driving from Vegas, it's a mistake. But as he was yelling, I was sitting there and he was making up some bit and I ran out of bits. Like I was sitting there, I said like, oh, this highway is called Saxy Madam Highway. Like I made up.
Wow.
So I was trying to make up a name. I'm out of humor. Humor was gone. And this is where we're at.
Absolutely.
We're at post bit side stories.
Well, we had an exciting weekend in Las Vegas. It's fully open. Highly recommend you go enjoy all of the wonderful things that Vegas has to offer, mainly friendship. We had a great group of people. Also,
and that Lambda variant is so nice out there. Like when you get that premium, premium Lambda,
Yeah, you can get that with a side of asparagus. It's a wonderful thing. We do have to shout out Bizarre Meats. On Saturday in Vegas, we had a dinner, and Henry set this one up. And I want to say thank you for setting that up, Henry. It was a full performance. It was a three-hour dinner. It's at a spot called Bizarre Meat. So if you get a chance, go check it out.
I was
crazy.
We ate
some really funky stuff, and I expanded my palate and my culinary brain. And overall, it was a great experience.
It was incredible. They took care of us, and I can't fucking wait to go back as soon as the doctor clears me.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna have to get all of my blood checked. I don't know what I ingested. There was definitely a time period where Eddie and I were in the middle of Las Vegas Boulevard. We couldn't get back onto the pedestrian walkway. We had to jump an embankment. Sick. I don't feel good.
Well, speaking of sending love, maybe go ask your neighbor when you give them a bucket of your blood. Say, And now may I have a bucket of your blood? That's called a transfusion. Well, speaking of love and friends, the updates continue to come from Joe Exotic. He's looking for a husband. And I'm going to say this. I've said this before, Henry. I spoke with an animal rights expert on Top Hat. I know he did not treat those animals right.
We know. He's a bastard. He's not a nice guy. But should every man be perennially lonely?
No. So Joe Exotic, And that's the thing with the Carol Baskin thing. It's like, okay, we all know, who knows what happened there anyway.
Who knows what happened? And his other employee, his other guy, he did commit suicide in the office as well. And I'm not going to say he drove him to commit suicide. I'm just going to say that maybe the circumstances were set up that suicide kind of ended up being like, there was a suicide solution, thank you, Ozzy, was proffered.
Oh. Anyway, Joe Exotic, he has applications out for a new husband. So if you are horny for Joe, if you continue to watch the Tiger King documentary and you call it one of your films and you have it in a collection of like Butt Busters 18 and then it's like Big Gorgo's Weekend in Italy and then you also have the five episodes or whatever of Joe Exotic's, if you jerk off to him, if you love him, he is looking for a husband, and true talk, I want him to find love. Why not?
Love makes you not as dangerous. This is his new press release that he put out. That is, it is rambling, but also weirdly pointed. Joe Exotic's criminal attorney, John Phillips, and his office of attorneys out of Jacksonville, is confident that with all of the new evidence that has been obtained, proving conspiracy, obstruction of justice, perjury by federal agents and witnesses, definitely everybody lied. For certain,
everyone
they all lied on him.
Lying.
Every single person who said the same exact story, they were all lying.
The only truthful moment in Tiger King wasn't even any words. It was the picture of Carol Baskin at her, with her husband on their wedding night, where he's on a leash and on all fours as she drags him around.
The only real moment.
It was the only piece of truth where you're like, that is 100% accurate.
So therefore, so they're saying they're trying to, he might be out of jail. According to his attorney, he might be out of jail, if not the end of the year, if not sooner. You're talking about several days from now, 2 to 3 days from now. Therefore, Joe Exotic is having a contest called The Bachelor King, where men over 18 years of age, can we at least, we should have put at least over 25 years.
Do they really have to clarify we're men over the age of 18?
I don't know.
Okay, I get it. Very nice. Good for you.
That's what they said. The top three picks will receive a 3-night, 4-day, all-exclusive paid romantic getaway with Joe Exotic once he's been released. So you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know where that could be, and you don't know where that romantic weekend's going to be. Is it going to be in Santa Barbara? Is it going to be in Santa Fuckola, which I believe is in Oklahoma?
I love Santa Fuckola. You put it on your hot dogs, and it really gives it an extra little pep. Joe Exotic, before he went to prison, I would not call him, he is a sensitive man, but he's also a firebrand. And if you cross him, he says, oh, all of that sensitivity that I harness inside of myself, that I internalize, I'm projected to you. Perhaps that's why one of his husbands committed suicide. The question is, now he's been hardened by prison.
Yes.
In every sense of the word.
And
just immediately, you're going to go have a 4-day, 3-night, all exclusive paid romantic getaway.
These men are not going to live.
They're not.
They're going to drown and come.
They may. Also, can you imagine the man who is there pretending like they are not about to? Sex is happening. Don't go to this being like, we're just going to start off slow. Like the first time you're going to see Joe, he is going to be wearing a tiger robe. You're going to see his rock hard dick. Like it is on like Donkey Kong immediately. Just so. If anyone out there is thinking about doing it, just get that in your head.
Be ready.
Stretch
before.
You're
going to fuck in there.
You're going to fuck in there. Stretch your calves. Stretch your butthole. Honestly, stretch your butthole. Stretch your mouth.
Oh, my God.
Stretch everything that you possibly can. Anything you can insert a penis into, just stretch it because that's going to be happening.
Do a salt gargle. You're going to start gargle. Yep. You know what's also big? Brush the back of your tongue just to make it nice and clean and ready. So that's the Joe Exotic update. Go ahead, fill out that form if you are ready for that amount of sex. I don't know if you are, but he's not getting out of jail, so don't worry about it. That's also just not going to happen.
You don't
None
think
of this
so?
Is going to happen. No.
I think it's possible.
I mean, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Also, the other big update is that the zebra snake was found moments after we put out the episode.
Was this the one that climbed through the dude's toilet and tickled his taint a little bit?
Yeah, that was another story, but it was the deadly snake that was loose in North Carolina. Apparently, it's been a big deal there for a while. People have been talking about the snake, but it was got, and I think it committed suicide by cop.
Oh, isn't that sad?
But so they got it good.
The Raleigh police, they have arrested Christopher Michael Gifford. He's 21. He had 36 counts of improper enclosures, 3 counts of mislabeled enclosures, and 1 count of failure to report escape. Out of all of the things, the mislabeling, what is that? So the cops are going to go in there and you're going to have some lazy Kathy or Stinky Steve be like,
Stinky Steve.
Technically, that's not a cobra. That's a venomous rattlesnake. And he mislabeled that on his cage. And now that is all of a sudden a felony as well.
This is
all of
technically.
Us, all of us are felons, are we not, for mislabeling?
I think that snake taxes, that's some kind of problem with. Also, truly, I believe you're not supposed to have venomous snakes.
Right, right.
And
that's
so,
the big thing.
And so you present the snake. I don't know if you need snake insurance or if you need a snake license. I'm actually not sure if you have to go, because it sounds like you have to say to the government, hey, I have 25 venomous snakes. Is that cool? And they're going to be like, not unless you give us $65 or something. Like, you have to basically probably pay them some fee, and then it's fine for you to have baskets of snakes.
You mentioned snake insurance. I did find from exoticdirect.co.uk, you can get snake insurance for $1,000, what appears to be, I forget their name or their number over there. It's around $1,500. Pounds. Yeah, they got the pounds over there.
Is that
so
true?
For about £1,000, you can get a snake covered with vet fees, death, or even theft. I don't know who in their right mind steals snakes. That's insanely scary. And according to this, they said we paid 94% of pet insurance claims in 2020. So I don't know what that 6% was, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
So you can get it, and it only costs £12 a month, and it's payable over 10 months. Wow. So there you go. If you do have a snake and you're in Europe, go to exoticdirect.com, and you can find yourself a little snake insurance. If you don't have human insurance first, then you're making
just
a mistake.
Check that.
You
get
need
the insurance first. But
do
in the UK, they actually get insurance. In the UK, they actually are fine. Their doctors are free, so they don't have to worry about that. That's the one thing that they have correct. There's also another story that has kind of wrapped up this week that last week I received, right after we recorded, of course, I received several emails talking about how Minneapolis is having a little bit of a body parts are separated from people's bodies problem.
What's a long way to say that?
Yeah, they've been finding body parts.
Is this the three body problem that you always talk about?
No, because those are three whole bodies.
Oh.
This is one body in many parts.
Oh, no.
And they have identified it as a person named Adam Johnson. This is in Minneapolis. They just recently found his penis.
What happened?
Which is, I guess, his penis was going for a walk and it got lost.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. I think he was brutally murdered. The events leading to his death are still unclear. This is from Fox 9. But officers believe his killing was recent. They would say that if the body parts found had been frozen or preserved in some way, maybe it would have been, you know, like they've been put him in the leftover bin, or maybe he was in the meat fridge. But it sounds like this shit was farm fresh.
Wow, this is unbelievable. The dude is only 36 years old. The cops received a 911 call around
6:40. And that's just a boy.
He's just literally a boy. The cops received a 911 call at 6:44 in the morning.
They found a severed leg just in a field.
They found a severed leg. So again, this is someone who is out there on their morning routine, staying happy, healthy, and thriving. And next thing you know, they find a human foot. And that was on the 300 block of Main Street. No one has any idea. No one has any idea what the hell happened.
They don't know what's happening. Because they've only found a couple of parts of him.
But there's so many.
I know, but it's not the whole thing.
No.
No, so you need more of the part. You need more of the parts to know. But also, why do you believe that necessarily the person who found the leg was doing something innocent? You don't know the actual intentions of witnesses.
They
get out there trying to do murder themselves, and actually got kind of sad when they found that murder was done ahead of them. And they're like, oh, that should have been my leg. Or maybe he went over there to put his penis inside of that leg. And then you said, oh, well, now someone's watching. There's a crowd here, and I'm not a performer. I fuck body parts in private. So
oh,
I'm going to call the police.
Goodness.
You don't know what people do.
You are correct. I have to give you some credit on that. 6:44 a.m. That's ships passing in the night. The people who have not slept and the people who are going to work and being very responsible whenever you're on the New York City subway from 6 to 7:30 in the morning, it's eclectic.
Oh, yeah, buddy. I remember when Holden and I got into the elevator at the hotel where we were staying in at 5:30 in the morning, and Holden and I were visibly inebriated. I had a fully open shirt on.
Yes. You couldn't and keep your shirt on this weekend. I don't know what the... It's a great shirt, but then you had your sash, a.k.a. What was this?
My purse.
It's a fanny sash.
It's a purse. It's European.
It is something. And for some reason, both of your tits at some point would just inevitably pop out.
It's Vegas. I couldn't control them. They wanted out. But we got into the elevator, and then this lovely woman got in. It was about 5:30 in the morning. And she's like, oh, you guys up early too? Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah. We're like, yes, it's very much time for us to go to sleep. And then she was like, I'm on my way to the ballroom dancing competition. Oh. I have to get my hair done. I have to get my makeup done. She talked about the whole process of ballroom dancing. Meanwhile, like, what if we just attacked you? Like, we're two crazy-eyed maniacs, but we were actually very nice. We asked her questions about her hair, and then we went to sleep.
That's fantastic. There's a lot of cameras. Never attack in Vegas. You're going to get found out. So Johnson, it seems as if he's dead. And they found Johnson.
Yes, no, yeah, he didn't fall. He didn't fall apart like he was a Lego man.
No,
like
he didn't.
He was disassembled.
So we're gonna have to figure out what happened there. It must be some kind of. So they cut off his penis and his legs. What else did they find? His arm.
They found his like hand, one whole leg, his dick and balls, and man, I just want to do everything possible to not end up like that. I just want my penis to stay on me, man.
I just feel like a detached penis. It's like I'm a grower, not a shower. I just feel like it would be so sad with no body attached to it. It's just like, what is that little thing?
Did you ever see the Lorena John Bobbitt's penis?
Yeah, but he actually looked like it had a relatively nice girth to it.
Well, she pulled it out.
I mean, he's a piece of shit.
But yeah, he's a piece of shit. She pulled it taut. Snapped it at the end. Click, click, click. That's what's scary. It's also like the song Detachable Penis. That I remember listening to with my father in the car, and he didn't understand.
Isn't that
some
nice?
Kind of detachable penis? This is about what? The same penis on here?
You know, everyone says with Miss Bobbitt, or with the gal who cut off Bobbitt's penis. Oh,
Lorena
she
Bobbitt.
Heard him, Lorena. Yeah, she heard him. All this stuff. No, because of what she did, he got to make a wonderful documentary called Frankenweenie. She gave him a career.
He was a loser before.
He's a loser now.
Oh, yeah, he was a piece of shit. And turns out her story is actually very, like, it went from a national, like, joke to, like, oh, my God, Lorena Bobbitt was a victim. And then the penis snipping just kind of was a part of it.
Well, again, snapping off someone's penis with a pair of scissors is really never acceptable. Go get out of there. And there's places and resources, hopefully, for help that don't require you to cut off the genitalia of your abusive partner.
I will cut off your Johnson.
Whoa!
Live from your grave.
I want to do this one because this is interesting to me. This woman killed her friend, Henry.
Yes.
And she blamed the friend's husband. And then the friend's husband went to prison for multiple years. Her name is Pamela Hupp. And then finally, the dude's been released. He was in prison for 10 years.
Oh.
And finally, we find out that Pamela Hupp framed the guy. She killed the friend.
Christ.
This woman... This is almost worthy of a horror movie.
It is. I also like the idea of the super deviousness. This took a lot of planning.
It did. And she's freaking scary. And you know she put the waterworks on. So the charges announced this past Monday were the latest twist in this bizarre 2011 stabbing of Hupp's friend, Betsy Faria. Now, Faria's husband, who served more than... Oh, I'm sorry. He only served 3 years in prison.
That's still a long-ass time.
Yes, it is. 1 hour in prison is long enough before he finally won retrial and was cleared. And then Russell Faria tried for years to pin the blame on Hupp, who was known to be the last person to see Betsy Faria alive. And after Russell was set free, Hupp then killed a man in an effort to point authorities back to Russell.
Wow.
So this woman... He's killed two people now in an attempt to frame Russell.
One
Hupp.
Man.
So if you're Russell, you're just like, can you stop killing people and trying to frame me?
Like,
what
go to
is
therapy.
Happening?
just go to therapy. I'll say I'm sorry. That's what I'm saying. Like, what do I need to say to stop all the killings?
It's just insane. If you're Russell, you're just like, can you just, ma'am? I'll go to South Dakota. I'll actually let you stay where you are and I'll move. Stop killing people and trying to frame me, please.
I actually want to hear the whole story, because you remember the story we did about the sugar napalm with the woman pouring the sugar water on the husband, and we didn't know why she killed this old man. We're like, oh, this psychopath woman, blah, blah, blah. Turns out he was molesting the kids.
No, do not blame Russell. Russell's a victim here.
I'm not blaming Russell.
Lincoln County Prosecutor Mike Wood, this is what he said. He said, this case stands alone in its heinousness and depravity, such as it shocks the conscience. And now, because of this other murder, they're going to seek the death penalty. This
woman. Yes, she's dangerous.
She stabbed her friend 55 times.
Pamela Hupp. I want to see what she
Pamela
looks like.
Pamela Hupp. She looks, you can, yeah, you take a Google search of it there.
Oh, yeah. That's Mega Karen.
She's smiling in the photo.
That is an evil-looking woman. That's no good right there.
She looks like she might be related to the horrible family from Children Under the Stairs or People Under the Stairs, I often say.
Oh, yeah, she's got the look.
She's got the look
stare.
Of a psychopath. And so the cops should also feel a little bit of guilt there for just immediately being like, okay, psycho lady, I guess we'll arrest this guy. You have blood all over yourself, but that's fine.
It's very scary. You got to be careful out there, man. Whoo, she mad.
The only
I wonder
reason
what, I wonder what set her off.
The only reason they were able to get her because of Rick Harrell. He was a newly elected sheriff. He said that he launched an investigation into misconduct and potential criminal behavior on the part of former investigators and prosecutors. So a lot of corruption here.
Whoa, holy shit. Betsy Faria, the original victim, was already dying of cancer when she stabbed her to death. And then, wow, I wonder what happened. I guess it was like she was just trying to get off for herself because about the insurance money.
Do you want to know the name of Miss Hupp, who's now 62? You want to know the name of the guy she killed?
What?
Louis Gumpenberger.
Oh, Gumpenberger was a born victim.
And he was only 33 years old. So she shot him in 2019. She shot him in 2019.
Just and then to she tried throw to it on the dude again?
Yes, and then she tried a bizarre scheme, and she tried to deflect attention.
She said they put a $900 cash double bagged in plastic in his pocket, and then she put a handwritten note with instructions to kidnap Pamela Hupp, drive her to the bank to get, quote-unquote, Russ's money, then kill her to collect the balance of $10,000 payment promised after the alleged hit.
Jesus, yeah, Hupp claimed Gumpenberger was an intruder who followed her in her SUV, jumped into her vehicle, held a knife to her throat, and demanded she drive them both to the bank. She told investigators that when she knocked the knife away and ran inside her home, the man followed. And in two 911 calls, she reported a burglary in process and then the shooting. She set it all up.
Wow.
It's horrifying how people use the police to set up their own little narrative there.
And then sometimes the police just shoot you in the head. Isn't that
no
fun?
Matter what.
It's really, really interesting out there. You know what I mean? Whew.
Yes,
Lambda
indeed.
Lambda variant. That's what I call this, man.
Yes, indeed. Well, in charging up, just lastly, when it comes to Gumpenberger, even sadder, she was unaware he suffered from physical and mental impairments related to a 2005 traffic crash. So Gumpenberger just had to, he was born,
God.
And then everything started going wrong for Gumpenberger.
Oh, God. At least he made it to 30. 33?
Oh,
maybe it's better, man. Maybe life's too hard for a Gumpenberger. I don't want him to be dead, but I feel like maybe things were just too tough for him and he just wasn't going to make it in America.
Maybe not. Anyway, well, actually, this story is something we're going to follow. The article here goes on and on. But we will follow what happens to Pamela Hupp because I don't think I've ever heard that before. She killed two people to try to frame one guy, probably because she loved him.
Maybe. That's what it is.
Who knows?
Jealousy over his new shoes.
Maybe. Yeah. It was about the Jays.
It's about the chase. This is another story that we're probably going to be following for a little bit and see how it pans out. These are the Wembley murders that just got wrapped up. This is an interesting story from the UK. Teen found guilty of murdering sisters Biba Henry and Nicole Smallman in London Park. This is Danielle Hussein, 19, stabbed Biba Henry and Nicole Smallman in Fryant Country Park in Wembley after he made a quote-unquote diabolical pact with the devil. Now, oh, if you look at his, he wrote out an actual contract that he wanted to, he was talking to a very specific demon. The way they got him, we'll talk about it. It is, he wasn't good at it. So no, this is a piece of paper, right? So it's his agreement. This is his, this is the pact he signed up for the devil. It says, for the mighty king, Lucifuge Refractor. Now, what you know is
who's
that
Lucifuge Refractor?
Lucifuge Refractor is the demon in the hierarchy of demons in charge of Satan's treasury. Okay. Right? So he says this is his terms. Perform a minimum of 6 sacrifices every 6 months for as long as I am free and physically capable.
That's 2. Actually quite a few sacrifices. Do you think we're talking animal sacrifices? Or if he goes to like a golden corral and has an extra plate, is that a sacrifice?
Sacrifice only women is okay. Term 2. But okay. No, I wish that he would. Honestly, if that would have been nice, if it was sacrifice 10 chicken wings every week, I'd be right there.
Dynamite.
Right? He says, then the third term was to build a temple for you so that I do everything to build a temple for you. And number 4, I will do everything that I have promised. Now, for him, he says, the main thing is he wants to win the Mega Millions Super Jackpot. To receive fruitful rewards in return for the future sacrifices I make to you. The rewards could consist of wealth and or power.
I don't know if this guy really understands. When you win the jackpot, it doesn't necessarily come with power.
He's
oftentimes it comes with a drug addiction and a bunch of family members you didn't know existed. That's my favorite thing. Have you ever seen when people win the jackpot and they want to be fully covered?
They have a mask on.
He had a mask. He had black gloves. And then the people who were commenting were like, and also, if you think you can make his face out, he patted the mask. Like, this dude, remember that show, Magic's Greatest Secrets Reveal?
Yes.
He was like dressed like that. I'm like, how bad is your family? What? I also understand what he's saying. I get what he's going through.
The lottery ruins people's lives. He doesn't know what he's asking for.
Henry, you're a demon. You're a demon, Henry. You get a note. Telegram, you're in hell. Oh, this guy, he's going to do all this shit for me. He wants to win the fucking lotto. Can a demon even do that?
No, because if you looked at, because number one, you know what he didn't do? He didn't get it signed. So he has at the very end, says signed by me, : and it says Danielle, which he wrote in his blood over his own signature. He first wrote the signature down in pen, and then he traced it with blood. And then where it says King, Lucifuge Rofacate, or whatever it is, he didn't sign.
This is what's really important.
No, he didn't sign. And I think it's really important for you, if you are going to get a contract signed, the person that's supposed to give you the Mega Millions lottery money, that person needs to agree with it as well.
Yeah,
because you're not going to get it.
Well, this demon's going to take half of it.
Well,
you
part
know
of
that
what
whenever
he thought,
someone never split. And you know it's all fun and games until you win. If you're like, Henry, you have an extra $2 on this $5 scratcher. Next thing you know, I win $20 million. And then Henry's like, two-fifths of $20 million would be around $6 million. And he'll say, yeah, but you gave it to me as a gift. And then we go to court and everything's ruined. And then by the time we're done settling it, we have no more money because of all the court fees.
Yeah, it's called the fucking wondery of the system. Yeah. But he thought that, so the last tenet of his contract was that he wanted to be invisible to police.
Oh.
So what he did is that he bought the knives that he was going to kill the two people with, just in a store with no mask on. So CCTV found him. And the way they got him is that when he did, he stabbed them brutally and ran and left the bodies behind a bush, was that he cut himself very, very severely and he covered the scene with his own blood. Now this happened at the beginning of June, and they just identified him and brought him in because of DNA databases like 23andMe. So they found family members through the DNA that they had on there, and then they looked at the CCTV footage, so they just had him. They went and they got him. But he is your standard internet moron. He was one of these, like, this is the problem, because now they're trying to pay him. They're kind of like doing the thing where he did right-wing searches and shit, but he's just a shitty 18-year-old on the internet, which means it's all you do. So that he is, he's one of those guys who try to find like some weird shit. They found like the occult symbols in his room, which is, if you look around my office, It's all occult symbols.
Mm-hmm. Right? How many contracts how many contracts to the devil do you have in there?
I don't worry about it. I already work for NBC. Yeah, whoa. I fucking did it. Got him.
Go there. You get a
accountability, y'all.
There it is. So anyway, he's going to go to prison for a long time. Apparently, yeah, he also had a girlfriend, which I did not realize. You know, a lot of people can get those. All you have to do is have a deal with the devil and kill a few people. And next thing you know, pussy come running.
Right. I just don't really understand why he thought it would work. And I look at his face. His eyes are uneven. He's got a shitty little mouth and big ears. And the big ears is kind of what makes him British. I look at him and I say, honestly, he's not going to make it. So you this guy so is funny. He's not an interesting or capable human being. And now he's just going to be in jail for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. He's a complete and utter failure. He tried to explain the injuries away to the cops by saying he had been robbed. But interestingly enough, he says he was robbed when he had gone to buy lottery tickets. But those lottery tickets were losers.
No wonder if
he realized at that point, like, oh no, I can't believe the lottery was a loser. Oh no.
I think that he might have like, but the devil? What about the devil? And they're like, I don't know. I mean, this is the lottery ticket. It would be incredible, though, if the police did confiscate his lottery tickets and then one of them hits and then they just go and cash it. Because that's what I would do. And that's not like I'm because of my father's son or at all. You know what I mean?
No. And the sad thing is, I mean, other than this entire story, he killed two ladies, Miss Henry and Miss Smallman. And as Henry said, it was all covered on CCTV camera footage. I don't feel any envy for the person who has to watch that footage. Although, you know, there's one guy in every police department named, like, Vorger.
Glurp. Detective Glurp. And he's got to go, and he's just like, I won a contest. I got to wear a badge, and they gave me a gun. Like, they just put him in there, and his job is to, like, sit here, watch videotape. Yep. He's like, that's what I do at home.
Watch more people getting murdered. So don't sign a deal with the devil, and certainly don't sign a deal with the devil so that you can win a lottery, because again, that just makes your life a waking nightmare.
It does.
Live from your grave.
I do want to talk about this other story. What I love now is that we're now some other countries, you know, the U.S. is getting quote unquote out of the pandemic. Other countries are getting out of the pandemic. And it's kind of fun to see like what everyone's excited to do. How that affects neighborhoods. I love this story. This comes from everybody's favorite and most intelligible magazine, The Sun. You guys love it. Furious locals complain, villages' peace and quiet shattered by screaming and moaning from Swingers Festival.
Oh my goodness. You know, I would rather hear wonderful moans of exaltation and orgasm than the moans of cats or crying. So I feel like the neighbors calm down and let people have a little bit of fun these days.
We're
in Fuck Party 2021. It is Fuck Party 2021.
It's getting out there. 400 swingers went to this little farm. Like, if you look, there's just some kind of like satellite pictures of it from up above. These are drone. This is drone footage where you just kind of see a bunch of trailers and shit. And there's like a pack of people all fucking naked. Now, this is in Grantham, Lincolnshire, on Friday to take part in Swingathon, which was almost canceled last week after organized called it, quote unquote, too much of a hassle. Now, what I do love is it had hot tubs, a naked singer, fetish demos, Mr. Swingathon 2021, which is fine. They had adult bouncy castles, a mobile dungeon, a wet t-shirt competition. And I just think it's really interesting because their main thing they kept pushing is that this is all COVID safe.
But
you're in an orgy.
Well, you're having fun. Nothing wrong if you want to have the old orgy there.
Orgy's fine. I just don't know how you think it's safe from fucking anything if you're just purposely having sex with each other. I just think it's fun. They keep it like, it's COVID safe. Meanwhile, like, a
you would
guy
rather
saying
for them to accidentally have
cum.
Sex with each other. One guest said at the event, hidden among the fields of the A-52, it was being heavily patrolled by security guards.
Yes.
Just be like, hey, Barry, come over here.
We are here to make sure you fuck.
He explained as well, they said it was all all COVID safe. However, there was a lack of loos and washing facilities. And then he says, this is according to the witness, one guest, he says, oh, also, there was no social distancing. It's a fuck party.
Yeah, it's a fucking party.
Unless you have a 6-foot dick and you only want the head rubbed. So yes. Anyway, everyone did take the test. And, you know.
But they were just mad because all they heard was the moaning and coming from there. And honestly, you know, men should be louder during sex, I've heard. You should add more noise.
Definitely not.
Into your repertoire. You should add more.
I am silent.
Yeah.
Until told not to be. No, that ruins it for the women. No, the women need to detect. They have a fantasy that they have that we are very little to do with.
Ooh. Ooh, you.
Apparently the event organizer said it went off without a hitch and everything was fine. I'm happy
That's
for
great.
Them.
Yeah, man, also, as soon as you come, you don't worry about it anymore.
No, you don't worry about anything whatsoever. Also, there was oil wrestling. You know, as we talked about, as Henry just mentioned, the world opening up a little bit as we work through the trauma of the past year and some change. Apparently, there is a 600-year tradition in Turkey, and everyone gets together, and it's all men, and they douse themselves with olive oil,
okay.
And they wrestle around. This is the 660th installment of the annual Kirkpinner Oil Wrestling Championship.
Man, that's straight as hell.
You know, these guys are so straight that I don't think they can recognize how gay it all is. The picture that I'm looking at has a man with his hand up inside of another man's ass. And they
that's
are
a
all
grip.
Oiled up.
That's
the
a
grip.
Grip. That's a presidential, it's the presidential bowling grip.
Yes, it was. And so there was one fighter, Ali Gurbaz. He was from the Mediterranean, and he was able to retain his title after a 48-minute bout with Anakara Ismail Kak. And they did it on the grassy square. And then he won the golden belt. So isn't
wow,
that fun?
That's nice. Gold. Honestly, when it comes down to it, it's just nice that nature is healing.
Yep. This
that's
is
what you want. Grab a man by the asshole this weekend. Get that shot.
Absolutely. Gurbaz, he says after his win, he says, I'm so happy. There was no wrestling during the 2020, in 2020 due to the pandemic.
Wow.
I became the chief wrestler in 2021. I hope to be the chief wrestler next year and be the eternal owner of the golden belt.
Hey, man, I wish more power to him. I hope he gets it. I want him to get there soaked in oil. Got to be hard to be sheets on his bed. That's for certain.
Oh, absolutely. It was 3,000 dudes shirtless, woo, mostly in black shorts.
A lot of cigars. I can smell
absolutely
the cigars.
Oh, yes. And honestly, if you light a fire, if you light a match and throw this near them, this is a barbecue. It would be very
bad.
They
will explode. Yes, they will. For certainly catch on fire.
Yes. According to Gherkin, he says oil wrestling has its own disciplines, traditions, customs, and traditions. And then he says, but by God's will, we will finish the 660th Kirkpinner wrestling event on this day and perform all the rituals one by one without skipping any.
That's awesome. Hey, I wonder what all the rituals. Honestly, if you know, email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com because maybe on tour, Kissel, we can reenact some of these rituals and we
can
start.
You know how much olive oil? Well, I guess they have the olive oil.
They have the olive oil.
If we do end up doing our Turkey tour when we've been captured by ISIS and we have to go perform for Erdogan,
I can't wait.
We'll do great, and we'll just we'll laugh.
We'll crush.
I don't know if you might have to shave. You might have to shave.
No,
I don't know.
My body?
I don't know. I mean,
if I'm slick with oil, I'm actually a more textured like an otter.
Yeah, but you don't want to be textured because then they can grab you.
Well, yeah, that's always bad.
I think
but that's
what's slick. I don't know how it works.
That's why I'm letting the hair go on top so I could people stop grabbing my long, luscious hair during my street fights.
I believe you, buddy.
Did you see the video of this woman duct taped to a chair on American Airlines? Did you actually watch this video?
Oh my
fucking God. There was a woman that the people are now mad. They're trying to say the stewardesses did this improperly, but
no,
I don't
they
know
needed
to
duct
people.
Tape this bitch. She was trying to open the fucking door.
She
I would have duct taped her. You, if you're on a plane and you hear and then like, I want to open the door. You need to duct tape her. You need to get that. The Billy Mays sells, whoever the hell that other
When are we going to get to the point where there's so many freakouts on planes right now. When are we going to get to the point that you need to sign like a psychological release to go onto a plane? Because this shit's getting out of control. This woman stood up in the middle of the flight says, I gotta get off this plane. And she went and she was trying to open up the door. Didn't know what to do. The stewardesses dog piled on top of her. They had nothing. They didn't know what to do. They were, it was like an hour, 15 minutes into a 2 hour long flight. They were already like about to go into like the, with the descent, like initial descent.
Yeah, dude.
So they just like, well, we got to bind her up. So they just duct taped her to a thing and she's going like, and apparently one of the stewardesses suffered a horrible bite wound.
Yes, that's the thing. So anyone who is, I defend the stewardesses because, or the stewards, course, because this is unbelievably fucking frustrating and difficult. And why are they the ones having to deal with this?
A flight attendant's job is incredibly difficult.
It really
you
is.
You are not just a, you are, yes, you do wait stuff, but that's not the only thing that you do. You're not just giving drinks and shit. You're the safety officers. You're the fucking police. You of this are, little tube in the sky.
Like literally you're Nicolas Cage in the movie Snake Eyes. You run everything and you need to solve the crime as well.
Do they always have an air marshal anymore?
No.
Because I don't think they do anymore.
No, definitely not. They used to, after 9/11, I feel like every plane had an air marshal. But now they armed the pilots, though. So the pilots do have some little guns in there.
But guess what, man? Guess what's incredibly hard to do? Shoot a gun on a plane. Because then everybody dies. There's no point in having the gun. Technically, they should have tasers or whips.
A plane, well, that would be more fun. But I think a plane could survive a few bullet holes.
They should have knockout gas.
Just for the flight for everyone. If they did that, we were as knockout airlines.
Just
sit
knock
down,
us out.
Turn the fucking knock up on. Oh, God. Let me know when we're in Australia.
So fucking dead. So finally sleep.
Yes. So the reason they had to duct tape her mouth, which I think is why people are upset, is because she was spitting, and as Henry said, she was biting, and these are just people.
They're
trying
just
to
people.
Land this goddamn plane so they can get to their other fucking goddamn plane so they can drop these fat people off at their goddamn vacation spots and go about their goddamn lives. This woman, I don't know why people have forgotten how to act on planes. I don't know why
that happened
in 2020. I don't know what they were thinking about during 2020 that was like, next plane I'm on. I'm freaking out.
Specifically, the last 2 years were not good for our country. They were not good. Things went obviously very poorly. Of course, we had the quarantine pandemic that drove people insane. We also just had rage TV 24/7, rage social media 24/7 that has turned people into ravenous dogs. They turned into mad dogs around. And I don't really understand why, because also there is more opportunity to do things that make you feel better than ever before. There's more psychological things that you could reach out to, like more like self-help situations, like more things you could reach out to, more resources. So I don't particularly understand what the fuck's going on.
You mentioned rage, and also let's see here just quickly, we can keep this in the show, but just a quick question for Mr. Henry Zebrowski. Do you want to talk about UFOs today, or do you want to wait for next week?
I will do a big update on UFOs next week.
Let's
because
do it next
one
week.
Thing
Great.
That we got, I, what I will say, you can keep this on the show, but I will do this next week. I will do this next week, but you should look up the Devon Seafront UFO, which was one of the, it is a wild fucking looking thing. Again, from the UK, Devon. This UFO was fucking crazy looking. I don't know what the hell that shit is. And
was that the UFO world.
No, this is not the USO that Jeremy Corbell has threatened to show this this proper footage of, which I have not seen.
I watched a video the other day. It was freaking crazy. I don't
care
if
they're
aliens.
Yeah, you saw the one that looked like a ball, like the one that looked like a pack of balls and just like dropped into the fucking ocean and popped back up.
And the thing about how cool the USO research is, I don't give a shit if it's alien, whatever it is. Either way, that's really awesome. And let's go figure out what the heck is down there, because no matter what, this is where I think the UFO and just kind of like the, I don't want to say normal, but people who may not love like alien lore, they can all just come together and be like, whatever it is, that's really fucking awesome.
Look at this. If you look at that Jeremy Corbell USO video, I'm watching it again right now. It's just, what the fuck is that thing? That looks like the movie Solaris. There is no reason for the, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's why, you know,
we'll talk about it next week. They said it was some kind of, I forget what they said. I'm just going to go with big old tuna.
Big old tuna. Sandwiches.
There was someone who's been like, I don't know what that is. So I'm sure somebody does somewhere. Anyway.
Did you do any research or have you read any story about the planet that fucking blinked? That's another thing I have to talk about maybe next week. I'll do a big high strangeness update next week.
Planet Butthole. Wink it.
Wink it.
Well, there was a sandwich man who recently pleads not guilty to destroying up to $12,000 worth of lobsters. Did you hear about this? This is in the Cape Cod Times. He's a 70-year-old East Sandwich man. The name of the place is East Sandwich.
That's cute.
Kind of funny. He destroyed $12,000 worth of lobsters at a seafood restaurant last week.
How?
Oh my God, dude, look at a picture of this dude.
Oh, he looks like he ate all of them. Why is he trying to, why did he destroy them?
Well, video shows the damages between 8,000 and 12,000 worth of lobsters. The store managers told police that when he arrived at the market at 6:30 in the morning, he noticed that the live seafood tank did not have any oxygen flow or water circulation.
Oh my God.
And he saw that the power boxes located in the back of the building were turned off. The manager turned the boxes back on and checked on around the 2,000 pounds of live lobsters, and he found the lobsters were stressed beyond normal because of the lack of oxygen, and the business owner arrived and transported the lobsters to a processing facility.
So was it an accident, or did he do it on purpose?
Well, according to surveillance footage, Votto, that's the dude who did it, I guess, he appeared at the property at 9:18 p.m. Police describe an older white fella. He was wearing jeans, a blue shirt, and a baseball hat. He pulls up to the market in a white GMC Sierra truck. He retrieved trash bags from the back of the truck, and he threw them into the dumpster, and then he turned off the power boxes.
Cool.
Votto, he currently works at the Market Basket, and was previously the owner of Superior Lobster and Seafood. So perhaps... This is perhaps industry sabotage.
Whoa, that's terrorism. That's seafood terrorism. That in Cape Cod, lobster terrorism is real. I think the Homeland Security comes and picks you up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, do you think that East Sandwich has a rivalry with West Sandwich?
I'm sure North Sandwich and South Sandwich, if you ever get them together, it's going to be a freaking bloodbath. Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to see that. What gang are you on? I'm gang. Because honestly, I like a lobster roll, but I don't think it's that great. If I was going to choose something else, I don't like a seafood sandwich type of thing. I'd rather have a fried fish sandwich.
So funny enough, the police ended up looking through all the trash bags and they said, oh, that is connected to Mr. Votto. And then this Cape Cod Times.
What a moron. He left that to Colin Card.
Yep. He said police arrested Votto at his house on Friday, taking him to Sandwich Police Station. Isn't that nice? He messed with lobsters and he went to go to Sandwich Police Station. It sounds like he lives in a pineapple under the sea. That's fun. I mean, than if you're a lobster.
That's the thing, owner. But the lobsters don't know. But also at the same time, I do believe on some level, the lobsters are so happy to make us happy.
Well, I actually didn't send you this story. This is a bit off here. I didn't even have it pulled up, but it is illegal now, I believe, in the state of California to boil lobsters alive.
It's illegal?
It's illegal.
Well,
it is illegal.
I don't know. I guess I'm some kind of serial killer. I've never done it, though. I've never boiled them. Normally, I haven't boiled a lobster in a long minute, but I know you're supposed to stab it in the brain before you throw it in there.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do it.
But it's not screaming. They say that you hear lobsters screaming, but it's not screaming. It's air being released from their shells.
Well, according to this, I'm sorry, this is not in California. This is in, going to be in Switzerland, Norway, and New Zealand. They have banned the boiling of live lobsters under plans to boost welfare rights of crustaceans and mollusks.
Interesting.
So boiling lobsters alive, yeah, it's banned under the plans.
Hey, man, whatever it's got to be, I'm not entirely against it. I don't know what
say, you know? The government is preparing to recognize that lobsters, crabs, octopi, squids, and other invertebrates feel pain. That's part of the legislation.
They do. Hey, man, I mean, we can't get voting fixed, but I'm glad lobsters will be okay. Well, thank God. Thank God they're taken care of. I'm glad the lobsters were the first of the list because of all of the things that need attention and all the groups that need help in these various countries. Those lobsters, because obviously the lobster union must be fucking huge. And the lobster, you know how many people they're sending into Capitol Hill? All these lobster advocates, all these guys with big claws and antennas hanging off their heads. Oh, you know how much pull they fucking have.
Absolutely right now.
What about the butter industry? That's my question. Because I feel like the butter industry should actually have a little bit more skin in this game. And start to be like, oh, what about all of this? Okay. Now it's going to make it a crime for me to spread delicious melted butter all over these carcasses of these tortured feeling creatures that can't vote.
Well, at present, the Animal Welfare Sentience Bill, it only covers vertebrates. So now they're going to say invertebrates as well.
Finally, some action. I'm just so glad that these guys are all hard at work doing shit that matters. It's huge. Good work, everybody.
I'm just happy I could get your actual real-time response to that. That's one of those. That's one of those you got to sit with sometimes as an American man.
It's just really absorb
sit with it.
Really absorb it. Wow. Really good work, everybody. Good work, country.
All right. Well, I think let's do Hero of the Week. Is it time for Hero of the Week?
Yes, it is. We need a hero.
This week's Hero of the Week is truly a hero. And I don't want to get too up in the clouds here. But when you stop a mass tragedy from happening, no one knows how bad it could have been. You know, I just stayed at Mandalay Bay. I always stay at my bay. I love Mandalay. Stephen Paddock, the devastation.
No, it's a haunting place because of the show. Like, I kind of have a hard time staying there just because I know, like, how hard it is.
Well, yeah, it's certainly not a place for certain jokes. That's for damn sure.
No.
But if someone could have just stopped him and the people were like, well, thank you for stopping him. I don't think we fully understand. You got to be like, thank you for saving hundreds of lives, hundreds and hundreds of injured lives, dead lives. Thank you for saving those people. But a hotel maid did just that. Yes. She prevented a Las Vegas-style shooting at the upcoming MLB All-Star Game. That's baseball. The housekeeper tipped off that she had found more than a dozen weapons and 1,000 rounds of ammunition at a hotel near Coors Field. So this is what's so amazing. I was talking to Henry before the show. We know hotels well. And obviously, you go to a hotel, the first thing you do, you jerk off. That's just what happens.
Of course,
boys and girls do it.
That's how you start that's how you be a person in a hotel.
Well, it's just very primitive. It's just like when dogs take pee on other pee, it's just the first thing you do, you got to jerk off in that room because this is mine for 48 hours, damn it. And if we leave the lotion on the bed, I will just put the no disturb sign up. I'd be like, I don't want you to see it. I always rock
the no disturb sign. I do it from the minute I go in there. That's what I do. That's my philosophy in a hotel room. I just go and get towels from downstairs. And I don't have him come in.
This guy, he had 16 long guns, body armor, and ammo in the room. He said, you know what? I could also go for a pillow fluff. So he didn't put the no disturb sign up.
Oh, my God.
And she walks in and she's like, what am I supposed to do? Clean around the guns and the ammo? So,
Or is it a pay? Hey, you want to do a little conspiracy theory walk? Planted guns by the police, U.S. government, they plant the guns, have them be discovered easily to show, look how hard we're working on stopping mass shooters here.
You're talking to Richard, what they did with Richard Reed. I don't know if that's the case here. This was at the 8th floor at the Maven Hotel, just 2 blocks away from Mile High Park. And of course, they're hosting the Midsummer Classic there.
Yes, we were just there.
Three men, interestingly enough, and this is a little bit different from Paddock, three men and a woman were arrested and charged with weapons possession in connection with the cache. Three of the suspects were previous offenders.
Ooh, girl boss!
Yeah, girl boss. And three of them were also charged with intent to distribute drugs. One suspect, a recent divorcee, had posted a message on Facebook saying, quote, go out, that is, quote, he would like to, quote, go out in a big way. So thank God that this hero woman was able to find
that is huge
all of these guns. They didn't name the hero maid. She's humble, but she is very sweet and wonderful.
Yeah, she's actually probably best not to be named because then she's just gonna end up, the poor woman's gonna end up getting harassed. That's what's beautiful about the fucking internet right
yep
now.
So anyway, whoever you are, housekeeper who saved countless lives that we'll never even know, at the Maven Hotel near Coors Field, you are Hero of the Week. Thank you for doing what you do.
That's fucking crazy. Well, good. I'm glad. We got to keep an eye out. Look for those guns.
Stewards, stewardess, and hotel maids, man. They are the front line of defense in this country.
Basically, if the government's not going to take care of us, we have to take care of ourselves. It's up to us, people. Get out there. We got to police everyone around us.
As
24/7.
Okay, George Zimmerman, let's calm it down a little bit.
All right, here we go. I got to show you. I got some letters from listeners.
Okay.
Your discussion about the butt bandit and his Vaseline artistic statements reminded me of my time working at a fairly well-known art gallery in East London. The gallery is in a rough part of town, and we'd have a lot of local eccentrics and houseless people who would use it as a dry, quiet space out of the pollution.
a totally natural consequence of having one of the very few free-to-access spaces in town. Absolutely. I worked on shifts with four or five other gallery invigilators?
Invigilators?
I don't know what the hell that is.
What's an invigilator?
That's a British thing. That's a British thing. Let me look that up before you guys all make
it. You read it. I can do this. I can do this crack research for you. Don't even worry about it.
We would rotate through rooms every half an hour and guard the art from the public, which who are much more touchy-feely than you'd think. I can't believe it. There's a kind of a...
Yes? Okay, I got it. An invigilator is a British... it is to supervise students at an examination.
Oh, it's like a proctor. It's basically like a fancy name for a security guard, kind of.
And they make about £20,000 a year.
Oh, great. Well, congrats. It was kind of a domino effect when it was time to move rooms. You'd be relieved by the room adjacent to you and then move on to relieve the next person. This meant any news spread through the staff like a game of telephone. One evening, my manager comes to relieve me and says, "By the way, there's been an incident." I wondered why it hadn't been radioed through until he said, "Security tried to remove a guy and he's pissed on the floor in protest." He shows me a CCTV footage image of the pisser and tells me to keep an eye out in case he sneaks in again. The gallery closed later that evening, and we all went home, exiting out the back entrance next to a communist library. This was the first night shit was discovered. On the next, on the doorstep of the staff entrance, a neat human turd was curled up. The protest had escalated. Over the next few weeks, more and more shit would appear. Sometimes on the front doorstep, sometimes at the staff entrance. The legend of the Whitechapel night shitter was born. A protest artist working in the medium of his own feces. That's interesting. We never find out why the night shitter was kicked out in the first place, but all I'll never forget his face from that grainy CCTV footage.
Okay, well, very interesting indeed.
Now, this is a disgusting story.
Great.
Longtime listener. Me and Kissel have the same birthday, but I think I'm 2 years older than him. Congrats.
July 21st, 1979. That would be his. Mine's July 21st, 1981.
39 and olden.
Yes. Oh, my
God. Anyways, back in.
Oh, my God. Only a week.
So close.
I'm holding for one more week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yep. Then you'll be pissing. Never holding again. So, 2004, 2005, I had a buddy who was into collecting movies and pics off the internet. It was mostly through news boards at the time, as where I lived in Vancouver, our ISP had really high bandwidth limit.
Oh.
That's into a few years later, when their news group server died, and since then, it was already old tech, they'd never replaced it. He downloaded all sorts of pic sets, and since it was on the news servers, they were all compressed files, so you didn't really know what you got until you downloaded all the compressed files and unzipped them.
Uh-oh.
Well, he thought it'd be funny to email me and my girlfriend, now my wife, who is extremely snake-phobic, a picture of a man holding what is a very large 10 to 15 foot long python or boa constrictor in his arms with his fully erect penis inserted into the snake's vagina or cloaca, asshole, whatever the fuck snakes have. Let me tell you, it was one of the single most disgusting things I've ever seen. My girlfriend was so fucking horrified and angry that was pretty much the end of the friendship. So let me just add that I was going to school for visual effects at the time, and I can recognize a Photoshop job, and this was not a Photoshop job. So I was like, congrats!
Well, you know, he's just a friend trying to make you laugh a little bit. I don't recommend doing that with a snake, though.
Wow, man. Also, but someone sent another letter about a woman getting watching in a meth den, in a meth sort of a situation, watching another man pleasure a woman with a snake. That's something fun. That goes out there, goes up and down her chooch. And this is another penis-breaking story. And then, you know what? Next week, we won't do as many penis-breaking stories. I just think it's relatable.
Yeah.
A few years back, I broke my penis in the same exact way as the fellow you spoke about who supposedly made a medical history. This is the thing about Ripley's, too. Remember that, guys, is that you may have broken some kind of record, but if they don't know, no one knows.
You got to sign the paperwork. How many people have broke Guinness World Records that we'll never know because they didn't go through the proper channels?
So my wife was on top when I came out and bang. I felt a pop and I checked it out. I had a light bruise going all the way around in the middle. So the next day I wake up for work and it felt a little weird, but not painful. Walk the mile and a half to work at USPS to start delivering my route. Damn.
Thank you.
Whew. Everything
That's
was good.
It's a great job, man. I love those guys. Thank you for delivering all the packages.
Oh, yeah. Everything was good for a couple hours until I went to take a piss at a business I was delivering to. When I whipped it out,
It was the color of an eggplant and three times the normal size.
Oh, my.
I drove back and told my supervisor I had to go to the hospital. And when he asked why, he said, I broke my dick last night. The look on his face was priceless. Upon reaching the urgent care, the doctor was shocked when he saw it. Once a urologist heard the details, I was scheduled for emergency surgery. They fix it by making an incision all the way around the head and degloving the skin all the way down the shaft. After they stitch up the rupture, which my doctor said was 2 centimeters long, they then pull the skin back up and stitch it to the head.
Like a pair of pants.
The pain is fucking unreal. He said the worst part is you still get morning wood. And it's the most excruciating erection that you can fucking imagine. He says, all good now, and he believes he gained a half inch of dick.
Wow. Well, good for him. All right.
Holy fucking shit. I'm in pain.
That is the gold at the end of the broken dick rainbow.
We'll do a new round of letters. Send something with aliens or ghosts in it.
Sure.
Just for a second. You know what I mean? Something new, something fresh. But I love to really get in there and be with the public.
Absolutely. Well, be careful when you're in the midst of coitus. Sometimes you're not thinking clearly, and the dick has a mind of its own.
It does, and it can be really very too adventurous.
Yes, it can. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Side
Stories.
We
did it again, you fuckers. I want you to go to our fucking live show, man. It's going to be better than this.
Yes, it's different than this entirely.
We're going to have a good show.
Really
get out there.
Comparable.
Go to lastpodcastontheleft.com to get the tickets to all of the live shows. I believe we're close to being sold out in a couple of them, Chicago, yeah. St. Paul. Go get them. We're so excited to see you. We got a new show. We just released more dates. I heard some people yelling about Phoenix. We're coming to you. We're coming to St. Louis. We are very, very excited and can't wait. Can't wait to get drunk and this is all. I'm just excited to be healed from the last weekend after this week, and then I'll be ready to get drunk again.
Absolutely. All right. You got to triple L it, Henry.
Yeah, you got to. You got to live every day like Sunday morning when I woke up so relieved to not be tripping anymore. You got to love the cogency that comes with understanding how much work you have to do in a work week while you're hungover in the middle of a 6-hour drive, stuck in traffic at 125 degrees outside. You're walking. You know for a fact that you got to get back because there's so much work. And meanwhile, you might be shitting tiny little bits of blood and you just got to get there. And then but you know what? When it comes down to it, because you're with your buddies and you made good memories, you got to laugh.
You got to laugh. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're happy and healthy and safe out there. And we'll let you know. Follow us on Instagram and everything, because we'll also be in Whedon very, very soon.
And then I believe it's Sarah. We're going to be coming to that dispensary at some point. Also, big thing is to know you're going to hear a commercial for it. We got new coffee. Last podcast on the left with Spring Heel Jack. It's our Mothman Red Eye blend. I've been drinking it at my home. It's going to fucking energize you. It's going to make you shit your pants. It's everything that you need. It's great.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magus de Lashant. Also, Vegas is wide open. If you want to go, have a fun weekend with friends.
Send me a doctor.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.